Don't delete anything.
This, almost I'm not.
Like he's
not.
Never made a podcast before.
We're done.
Our first episode of the Happy Hour podcast. This is, you've probably already heard Emily. She's here. We've got Mark, Cole, and Ropa here. And so today we're going to just talk a little bit to our good friend Cole. Cole, say hi.
Hi.
This is Cole. He's going to share his testimony just a little bit with us. It's my understanding, because I love you, Cole. I've known you for almost 2 years now. Mm-hmm. He goes to Ozark. You're what?
That is true.
Junior year?
Yes.
Okay, junior year, and you're studying...
Student ministry.
Student ministry. We change the world.
Amen.
Take it away. Start wherever you want to start.
And then yes. We'll so, I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Born and raised, same house and everything. It's kind of cool.
Wait. Pause. You were born. Wait, were you born in the house?
Or no, just, no. Okay. You said, I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Kitchen table.
So I,
great first pause.
Naturally, my brain went, you know, just like in the town. But then I like.
I mean,
you,
people do that.
You emphasize the house. Birth.
No,
so
yeah,
I
they're
just
a thing. I was born and raised in the same house. Well, born in Tulsa,
however anyone wants to give birth.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
As
thanks
long
for
as
clarifying.
It's safe and healthy.
Yeah, I love the analytical thinking there. Okay.
Thank you.
So,
Emily.
Born in a local hospital of Tulsa, Oklahoma, raised in a house my parents own, not a hospital. See here, my dad's been a preacher my whole life, like 20 something years. I'm 20, so a few years more than that. So I was born and raised in the church, you know, spent lots and lots of Sundays, Wednesdays, Sunday nights, all that kind of stuff. So like, as far as my testimony goes, there was never really a time before God, you know, it was always kind of like, well, yeah, obviously God exists and like, he's the God that we follow and everything. So that part was always super easy for me, honestly, but that does have its own problems in that. Growing up, it's super easy to have, like, all the Sunday school answers and the, well, yeah, I know what it means that God loves me because he loves me, you know, and it's, he's God, so he does it, and that's just how it is. But it didn't really, like, do much to me. Like, it wasn't, like, affecting me on, like, a deep personal level, you know.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, like, getting emotional about, like, wow, God, like, loves me and, like, all that kind of stuff, you know. And I've never been a super emotional person, so I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing that I'm not emotional about it, but... It never really affected me at a heart level. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, I kind of lived in this very nominal, just like head space of like, yeah, I'm a Christian because I am, and that's what's right. And so I do it. You know, the Bible says don't kill, so I don't kill. You know, it's easy. So that was where I lived for most of my life. But I would say I remember having this moment sometime in early high school. It's like a Wednesday night. Regular, like, nothing special about the night. I think it was just, like, a regular lesson. And I remember, I assumed the lesson had something to do about having, like, a personal faith. Because I remember having this moment, sitting, like, I remember where I am, it's, like, weird. And I was like, oh, I have to have my own relationship with God? Like, that's a thing. And growing up in church, you would have thought I'd get that before then. But for some reason, that's the moment I realized, which, thank God, I realized at some point.
And how old were you at that time?
Early high school,
like,
so 13, I don't know.
15?
What grade do you think you were in? Like 9th or 10th?
9th or 10th, yeah.
So
I
like
really
14,
can't remember like
15?
When exactly it was, but I know it was early high school at some point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 9th or 10th. And at that point I was like, oh.
Which, sorry, that's a really difficult age
mm-hmm.
to kind of like find Jesus.
Yeah.
Especially with like, no, like, you know, because you study student ministry, like 9th and 10th graders are like hard to rope in.
Yeah.
So, like, that is impressive.
Yeah. Oh, and also probably good information to have is that I was also going to this, like, weird little private school that was, like, Christian.
Oh.
And it's literally, like, Hogwarts. We had houses and everything.
Oh, my
wait,
God.
No, wait.
No.
I was
that.
In Falcon House, personally.
Shout out Falcon
animals.
House.
We're the only real house. The other ones were Griffin, Pegasus, and Dragon. So, we all made, like, the connections to the movies, you know, Gryffindor was supposed to be Griffin, blah, 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 you know, whatever. We
wait,
won a lot.
What's
so.
Falcon? What were you?
Like, Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
The school didn't mean to make an attention. Apparently,
but,
it's, like, a European thing. Like, apparently, European schools do this.
Yeah.
And so, it's a normal, like, classical
wait,
education was a
so
whole bit.
So then,
yeah.
I didn't know that was, like, actually, like, a real thing.
Literally.
No, I met a guy from somewhere in Europe, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's really a thing. And I was like, what? I thought it was just us.
Like, that makes sense, and that's why, like, all of the Hogwarts houses.
Yeah, so apparently,
because it's European.
I'm making connections.
For people in Europe, where, like, you know, J.K. Rowling's, it's probably total normal. So, anyways.
Well, okay, hold on. We have to take a pause.
Yeah.
Chase, what Hogwarts house are you in?
I think I told myself I was in Gryffindor because of the
What do you
movies.
Mean you told?
I never.
You
I
just
never,
wanted to be the hero.
You never took the test?
But I think because, no, but because I think like that.
You answer the questions that will get you a Gryffindor?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
fair.
And therefore, if you had the Sorting Hat on your head,
I think I would
it weigh would,
heavily
it would say,
toward Gryffindor.
It
would say your house, and then you would say Gryffindor? It would say...
Maybe
like
that
Harry.
Or Slytherin, because
I
I'm
was
so,
about
like,
to say...
maybe,
Rupa, what house would you be in?
Oh, the Slytherins.
No.
She said
I'm
that
sorry.
So fast.
I would definitely be in there.
Would you actually be in Ravenclaw? Cool.
No, I'm actually Gryffindor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emily?
I'm Hufflepuff.
Yes.
That checks
me
out.
Too.
What about you? Okay,
Hufflepuff
so we got
all the way.
We got everyone but Ravenclaw.
I could pass as a Ravenclaw, but I prefer Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
I feel like you're
Hufflepuff
wing
Ravenclaw.
Yeah, I know,
no,
right?
I give those vibes just like that's like the fun goofy side of me.
Oh,
but I really am a Hufflepuff.
We'll move on.
Okay, back to
yes.
weird Christian private
so,
school.
So yeah, went to the. I mean, it was great. That I like loved it. It was weird, but it was a good experience. But that also definitely added to the Christian bubble I was kind of living in. I had gone to like public private schools from like kindergarten to fifth grade, and it was like a really good school. It was great. I still. Like, I visited the school a few years ago because our church was doing something there, and I saw, I think, 3 of the 5 teachers I had there, and I was like, oh, hey, Mrs. Minos gone. I was like, what's up? And she recognized me. I was like, what in the world? It's been 7. Like, it was so super cool experience there. But then coming into that Christian place, 90% of the people are Christian. I mean, there's your... Once you get to know people, you're like, okay, some of you don't actually like believe in God, but it's whatever you pretend to. And you're not going to tell anyone otherwise. And so to that aspect, I was always really living in this very Christian bubble. And I was pretty aware of it for most of the time. But there was also nothing I was really doing to, like, leave it. I worked, like, at a Christian summer camp 2 of the years. And then I worked at a restaurant for a while that wasn't Christian. That was, like, probably my biggest, like, most time spent in a non-Christian environment. In the entire like high school experience, I'd say, aside from like being places, but actually having like a couple relationships with people that were just work level, really. But I would actually talk to people who would be like, no, I don't believe in God, this is why. And I was like, whoa, I actually get to like talk about why I believe in God. This is crazy. You know, not for a paper. And so that was really
not
cool.
For a paper.
And so honestly, I've been doing the Ozark Christian papers for a long, long time.
That's so funny.
But, so that leaves me in kind of this place where I can have faith and I can say I believe in God, but it doesn't test me, it doesn't push me, it doesn't really change who I have to be because the people around me, for the most part, are supporting the same Christian values and they're not saying, hey, come out and do these,
awful things,
let's come party and get drunk, whatever. I don't have to say no because I'm a Christian.
Exactly.
That's just not even an option. And so there's this... long period of time where I didn't realize I needed to take my own ownership and actually let that transform my life at all. And so I remember, and this is like still definitely like a big struggle for me, is just actually having like intentional time with God and Jesus and like reading my Bible. And it's easy to blame it on like being at Ozark, but, well, I read my Bible so much for school and like have to write all these, you know, Bible papers and stuff. And it's easy to blame it on that, but when I think about it, I would probably it might hurt the situation, but I would still have the same problem if I wasn't at Ozark. So I really can't blame it on that. I think it's just always been so easy for me to live in this very I'm a Christian. Leave it there kind of space in life.
Yeah.
And so
it's good that you recognize it though.
Yeah. Yeah. So like recognizing it, I know, is half the battle, but it's really easy to be like, yeah, I struggle with this. And then go on my day and
sure,
I remember, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been this, like, kind of the theme of my life, honestly, is this tension between, like, knowing that, like, yeah, you're good, like, you're saved by grace and whatever. And then also I'll read passages like I was in a class the other day that I was talking about, like, you got to be ready for when Jesus comes because you never know what it's going to be, you know. And it's like, if you're not ready, you're gone. And so I read this, and I'm like, shoot, like, am I, like, I don't even know if I'm ready, man. I haven't read my Bible this morning. And so I get in these places where I'm like, oh, no, am I actually going to be good? But then, you know, it's, I believe in Jesus. I'm saying, like, I'm probably fine in the end, you know. But there's always been this tension where, like, I'm always trying to figure this out, but I've never been good at it. And there'll be, like, a month where I'm, like, consistently praying in my Bible. And I notice the difference. Like, there really is this, like, tangible, like, I just feel better. I feel, like, more connected to God and more connected to people around me. And it's just, like, it's not necessarily, like, everything goes right. Like, my life is perfect, you know, kind of a good feeling. Because that would be an awful misrepresentation of what it means to follow God.
Yeah.
But I get into the times where I'm not doing that, and it's kind of subtle enough that I won't realize it. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as I, like, kind of, like, I realize, I'm like, oh, I'm not doing this, and I switch back into it, it's like, wow.
You can see the difference.
It's so much better. And so, honestly, like, coming to Ozark and realizing, like, I think I want to do ministry was all kind of, like, you mentioned CIY in your little testimony. I was at this CIY Move conference the summer before my senior year of high school, trying to figure out, like, all right, what am I going to do after high school, you know? Like, I had some ideas. I was like, I don't know. Doing, like, tech for, like, a stage would be kind of cool. I was like, I had a few ideas, but I really didn't know it all. And so I remember having, like, the Thursday. If you haven't been to See How I Move, it usually builds up to, like, your Thursday night is, like, this big, like, call to Jesus, like, repent. We called it Cry Night.
Yes!
Yeah, I was just about to say, when you cry.
Because everyone cries.
Yes. That's when, like, a really good speaker comes out, and they're like,
exactly.
Boom.
They pull out the big guns.
You're a sinner.
They're like, you're not going to remember.
Capital S.
You're not going to remember my name, but you're going to remember my message. And you're sitting there, like, bawling, like, and hugging your friends.
And then they, like, hit you with, like, the double whammy, and they call you up, and they do, like, the cool, like, interaction thing.
Yeah.
And then they sing, like, one of the most popular songs that year, and you're like, oh my gosh. And, like,
sing
you're
Graves
crying.
In the Gardens.
Yeah.
And,
and then you're sitting there crying, hugging
Firm
your
foundation.
Friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
You're all, like, swaying. And then the next day, everybody acts like it didn't happen.
Just
eating
your breakfast, trying not to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. And so we were in our church's small group time after Cry Night session, and I was praying. They're like, all right, God, like, what do you want me to do? Because I've been praying this all the time, trying to figure out what I want to do. And then I felt God saying, do this. And I was like, okay, so, like, sounds like it's ministry to me. Like, you know, go, like, recreate the experience you're having right now. And so coming out of high school, I was like, all right, I'm going to feel like CIY Move. That's going to be my thing, you know, because I was at CIY Move, and that makes perfect sense. But that also kind of came out of this place of my junior and senior year, my youth group was kind of just, like, meh. Like, I'm not going to bad talk it. Like, my church was great, and, like, my youth pastor was great, and there was nothing bad going on. There was just, like, kind of a lack of just energy in the students ourselves, and it was just like, you know, I just didn't super want to work in a church, you know, doing ministry. But I was like, I still want to do ministry, but just like in a, like, a parachurch, like a nonprofit organization working with, like, high schoolers and middle schoolers and stuff. So it was like, obviously that's CIY. But, you know, coming into, like, Ozark and then volunteering with College Heights, it's been super cool to just, like, experience new youth ministries and, like, actually see, oh, like, it can be a lot better than what I experienced there towards the end. In the beginning of my youth ministry, my youth group was, like, super great, and I loved it, but it just kind of tailed off towards the end. And so I think, like, finding, like, the kind of the motivation there has been really good. And so, like, just figuring out, like, what I want to do and seeing, like, God has been kind of moving through this, like, figuring out I have to have my own faith and then going to a place where I have to learn all about, like, the head knowledge of that faith, but then constantly struggling to apply it, I think is something that a lot of, like, high schoolers, middle schoolers are going through too. And so I think a big part of, like, my heart for it is, like, going and being like, hey, I know, like, this is super hard, like, coming from a place where I've been a Christian my whole life, but not really, you know, like, not really living that way. And so trying to, like, lead them down a path that would make that easier for them, you know? I'm not going to make
super
it
super cool.
Yeah, super easy, but hopefully it can make it a little bit better for them. That's kind of my...
There is, like, one question that's, like, looming in my brain. Like, when you say, like, so that, like, shift for you, like, going from easy breezy, I'm a Christian, and then that shift afterwards, like, oh, crap, like, I need, like, my own faith.
Mm-hmm.
How did, like, once when you had that realization, what were, like, the days afterwards? Like, how did, like,
how did your family respond? How did, like, the people around you respond? Because they all knew you to be a Christian, right? The mm-hmm. closest friends to you knew that you were yeah. a Christian. So, like, how did they, like, if you could put yourself in their shoes, what do you think they would say? Like, what do you think they would be like? Because, like, that's interesting just to see, like, one of your closest friends or, like, your son,
yeah.
like, go from, like, yeah, I'm a Christian, too. Hey, what does Judges 6, 14 say? Like, you know, yeah. like, and, like, not necessarily Judges 14, whatever.
What is that again?
But like, you know, but like asking those more in-depth questions yeah. and stuff. You know what I mean? Because I'm assuming like when you had that shift, that's something that's probably on your mind, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't remember exactly, but I do remember there were times where, like, my dad would always be reading his Bible during, like, while y'all were eating breakfast or whatever. And so I'm sure there were times where I'd be doing morning devos too, you know, throughout my life during breakfast, but I think I can remember times where it got a lot more like, hey, like, give me, like, what book should I, like, work through? Like, what are some things I should study? Like, mm-hmm. I think there were small shifts. I don't think I ever necessarily was like, you know what, tonight I realize that I need to have my own,
Right.
I mean, maybe there was that conversation, but I don't think there really was. But I imagine they noticed a few small things.
Yeah.
I would love to say that it was obviously drastically different, you know, yeah. like, wow,
yeah.
look at this awesome Christian.
Crazy
you know?
Story, yeah.
But I think it was probably pretty small, you know, and trying to move in the direction, just, you know, pivoting kind of and trying to start taking steps in the right direction. I'm sure it was not
so
that
like
big
a, like a gradual incline
yeah.
to the right.
I'd have to yeah. imagine, though, as, like, your parents, they had to have been super happy and proud, like, whenever you were asking those questions,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
looking for those kind of things, taking the initiative like that. I would think as a parent that would mean a lot. To
yeah.
be able to see that, so
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have like multiple questions.
Shoot.
But the very first one that has been like sitting on me, so you know how like some people come from the world into Christianity.
Yeah.
They have that sob story, like, I was
mm-hmm.
bad,
mm-hmm.
I was
yeah.
you know, I cried when this happened, and
yeah.
da, 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 da. And then for us, like PK raised kids, it's like, you know, you grew up in it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have that moment where you're like, I want to do my salvation, like, I'm getting my salvation now, kind of?
Mm. Like,
it's a great question.
Like, mean, like one of those, like, cool story moments?
Not a cool
or just
story moment. Like,
the exact
okay,
moment where you owned it.
I accepted Jesus
yeah.
at this point
oh,
in my life
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
thing.
I see
more like a, I was, not like I was introduced to Jesus,
sure.
but
mm-hmm.
I chose to, like, hey,
yeah.
this is my moment, because it felt like
yeah,
that's how
yeah.
it was when you're talking about your
mm-hmm.
you know, transition.
I would say that it is either, well, it probably depends on how you like look at like what makes
yeah.
you, you know,
yeah.
100%.
I formally like accepted Jesus into my heart and I was like
mm-hmm.
baptized. I'm pretty sure it was fifth grade. It was like Earth
oh,
Day.
Oh, so you
I
did
remember.
Go. Okay.
Yeah,
so you did go through
Earth
that process.
Yeah, for some reason, I remember me and Noah Simpson got baptized together. It was kind of fun.
Shout out to Noah.
Yeah, shout out to Noah.
Okay.
And so I'd say that was when I was like, yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. But then obviously there were, what's the math, like 4 or so years, you know, where it was still just like, you know. And I actually remember, I imagine it was the week after I got baptized. I don't remember much from, like, when I was super young, because I don't have a very good memory. But I do remember having this thought once of, like, I've got 3 younger siblings, and the second born is my brother. And I remember being annoyed at something my brother did, and I was like, man, I thought being baptized would, like, make that so much easier. And so I remember having thoughts of, like, yeah, I'm a different person now, you know, like, we did, like,
yeah.
the little study with my children's pastor and everything, where, you know, we learned what it means to accept Jesus, and so I know that, like, there were definitely thoughts in my brain that's like, yeah, this is, like, where I've, like, decided to follow Jesus, but I also, like, do realize that maybe that wasn't really the true shift, you know, like, that might be that 9th, 10th grade moment, so one of those two options,
I mean,
yeah,
I believe,
yeah.
like, people... I don't know if this happens to everybody, but I feel like you, like, go through salvation probably a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, you do it for fun with your friends on when you're younger, and then you get to that point where you're, like, total life change
yeah.
from
yeah.
just
mm-hmm.
being a Christian to being that Christian.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, yeah. And then
yeah.
another thing I was gonna say is, like, you talked about reading the Bible, how it's like hard. Mm-hmm. Obviously it's hard. So how do you, like, how would you go to someone and be like, hey, if you want to get into it, this is the best way you could do it?
I would say, if, like, you're not used to reading the Bible, like either, like, every day or, like, in large chunks or whatever, like, if you're just not, like, if you haven't done it much, I mean, there is, like, it is an awesome, awesome thing to read, like, a few verses or, like, one chapter or, like, whatever, like, bite-sized chunk you want to do. I think that, honestly, I think it might even be better to do it that way, because you can just, like, sit and, like, look at it and, like, pray over it. Like, if you want to read, like, half a psalm, which are usually, like, pretty short, like, dude, look at that. You know, God takes care of me. How cool is it that God takes care of me? You don't have to read the whole book of Psalms and try to think about every single thing that God, you know, all 130.
You don't remember half of it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my Sabbath.
Yeah.
I know Psalms 23, that's it.
Yeah, honestly. And so I think it's super important just to set, like, realistic goals. And because if you're going to go out and set, like, as a first-time Christian, I'm going to read the whole Bible 3 times this year, you're not going to get there unless you're already, like, a crazy academic and used to reading large amounts of weird text, you know, every day.
I was going to say, I feel like Christians who are, like, actually good about reading the Bible can't finish it in even a year.
No.
Yeah.
So it's, like,
it's difficult, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I'm currently trying to do, like, one of those Bible plans with my dad, and I'm currently 20 days behind.
Clear.
And so, like, it's hard, and I'm at Bible college, and I've, you know, been, whatever. And so it's, like, I set a goal for myself, because, like, yeah, I want to do it. But it's not just, like, easy to read your Bible in a whole year. You know, it takes a lot of, like, time and intentionality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'd say, one, just, like, do it, and, like, super bite-sized, reasonable chunks for, like, whatever you're used to. And don't feel, like, ashamed about, like, well, I'm not reading as much as this person, or I'm not, like, you know, coming in with these, like, deep, super heady insights into what God believes. Like, dude, if you can read the Bible and be like, huh, Jesus, like, did a miracle. Yeah, he's pretty cool. Like, if that's all you get out of it for the day, that's cool. Like, great, read the Bible, you know, talk to God about it, whatever. And I'd also say, oh, I had a second point and I lost it. I'll leave it there. Bite-sized chunks.
Okay, I was going to say, on that same Bible chunk thing, like, I feel like when I'm reading the Bible, the most important thing, I think, is Lucifer knew everything in the Bible and still wasn't the good guy.
Mm.
You can know everything and still not know the Bible.
Yeah.
So, like, taking, like, chunks of it helps a lot, because you can be like, okay, today I did this verse, and I, like, really went deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the SOAP method.
No.
Okay, I use the SOAP method.
I think it was just, like, one thing I did in a specific youth group activity. Like, a few, like, over the years. So I've used it, but it's not, like,
every time
my holy grail.
Well, for me, it's, like, every time I read the Bible, it's, like, SOAP. Like, if I know, like, it'll motivate me because I have to think about it. Like, S is, like, your scripture. O is what you observed while you're reading it.
Mm.
And then A is, like, how you can apply it to, like,
oh,
your life. And you kind of have to write it down. Like, you can't just be like, I can do this. Then you, like, you actually have to, like...
Is P prayer?
P is prayer.
Ooh,
prayer.
Nice.
There you go.
It's kind of like, you know, Jesus or something.
You
yeah.
Practically
yeah.
Yeah.
You
made it,
Mark.
Yes.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah, well, I have a question. Okay, because I mean, I can relate to a lot of parts of your story, and I had a lot of people who were pouring into me. Did you have any, like, friends or mentors who, I mean, kind of walked alongside you during that time? Or just in general, since you grew up in the church and to the Christian school?
Yeah, for sure. I think there were a lot of people that poured into me in, like, small, like, passing by ways. Like, I had several teachers who were just, like, really great people who, like, modeled Christ. I was like, wow, that's a great person, and I want to be like them, and, you know, thus was, like, being kind of poured into. But as far as, like being intentionally mentored, there was a while where I was mentored by my old worship pastor, Jose Heredia, who's now, like, in Florida, I think.
Yeah.
Jose. Jose, I love you.
Wait, do you know him?
Yep.
Oh, no way. He's so great. And then my youth pastor, Matt Crosser, poured into me for a long time. And so I met with him. We met at a coffee shop every Monday. And then we'd meet. Then I'd do my algebra homework. Yeah, it was algebra. And, but yeah, I mean, we had them. I had my, honestly, my whole family was like super, like a very Christian family, which is super cool in a lot of ways. And so just like being able to, just like your daily interactions, them being like such strong believers, it's hard to like interact with them and not be kind of see God in some way. And one in particular, I have, she's not actually, she's my like god aunt, so she's family. She lived in my parents' house when I was like 3 to 5 or something like that. She was living in Tulsa, going to college, and living in my parents' house is great. Her name is Renisha, but we call her Ray Ray. And
shout out Ray.
But it's every time I spend more than 5 minutes with Ray Ray, she comes out for like holidays and stuff sometimes. So I come away like convicted and like wanting to like read God. It's just like in the best way. It's just like someone who models God and like loves God and His Word so much. Just like almost every other word that comes out is like her talking about God, but not in an obnoxious way. You know, it's like I've seen people before who are like talking about God all the time. It's like,
you're like, oh,
it feels
God.
Like you're just trying to flex. You know, it's just like, let's talk about like a game or like whatever. But it's like, and she'll have us all. But then it's like, it's always coming back, and it's like always everything about her life is like towards Jesus, and it's just like so cool. So I think there's definitely been a few people who are like, whether intentionally or not, definitely important to me. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Do you have a question, or did you already ask?
Rupa kind of stole my question.
Oof.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you can come up with another question if you want me to.
Go for it if you want to. No pressure. You don't have
Cole,
to.
Cole, I have a question.
Okay.
Cole,
Mark has a question.
10 years from now. Where do you see yourself?
If I had to guess, probably youth pastoring.
Okay.
If I could just name it and claim it in Colorado. Colorado's pretty cool. But yeah, I'd say I'm youth pastoring somewhere in Colorado.
Snowboarding.
Skiing, actually.
Okay,
skier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's
like a big
question.
That's a good question.
In Colorado,
yeah.
When we were skiing.
That's
so funny.
Great.
I just remembered that.
That's awesome. I have a picture somewhere of, like, you, me, Peyton, Faith, I think.
Yes.
And maybe one other person. I feel like there's 5.
Shout out to all those people.
Shout out to all those people. Shout out to all those people.